Luke chapter 15 is a very familiar chapter in the Bible. In that chapter, Jesus uses three parables to teach us that God wants every single person to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we were reminded very vividly on Thursday night at Senior Saints by Brother Bill Ayer in a devotion that he gave, that we have the responsibility as Christians to carry the gospel to the world. We're to be busy introducing men and women, boys and girls to Jesus. And in these parables, Jesus made that point. He told a story of a lost sheep, story of a lost coin, and the story of a lost son. And it's not part of my message, but as you read those three parables, you read those three stories, you see three different reasons why people are still lost. In the story of the lost sheep, the sheep got lost because of their own neglect. Sheep are dumb. This lost sheep just wandered off. And people today, some people today are not saved, not because they're dumb, just because they neglect the things of God. They don't out and out rebel against the things of God. They just don't pay any attention to them. I mean, they may have been exposed to them. They may hear a sermon in a church. They may hear a sermon on a TV or the radio, and they just ignore it. They don't pay any attention to it. They're still lost. They're still going to hell. They still have not received Christ, but they've done it because they've ignored the things of God. The coin was lost because of others' neglect. And so this lady, for some reason, lost one of these coins because of something that she did or did not do. She put it in a place she shouldn't have put it in, or she didn't put it in a place that she could remember where it was. And because of her neglect, her coin was lost. There are people today that are lost because of the neglect of others, because they have not shared the gospel with people that Jesus has brought into their life. And the fact that you're here today, you may be here today because you've ignored the things of God. You may be here today and there's been other Christians who have failed to tell you about Jesus. Or you may be here today like the son in the third parable. The son in the third parable, the parable we know as the prodigal son, was lost because of his rebellion. He decided he knew better than dad. He decided to leave home and make it on his own. And there perhaps are people here today that are lost. You've been confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you basically said, I know more than God does. I don't need God's way to heaven. I'll devise my own way, and you have rebelled against the ways of God. Now, again, it doesn't matter why you're lost this morning. If you're here and you've never received Christ, I use the term lost. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, the Bible says that you are still under the condemnation of sin. The Bible says all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. And so it really doesn't matter whether you've ignored it. It doesn't matter if somebody has failed to be what they're supposed to be in your life. Or it doesn't matter if you've been rebellious up to this point. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you are here for a purpose. Amen. You are here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning I have 4 points, mostly directed at Christians, but I want to talk to those that have never received Christ as well. Here's the first point. One soul is important. Amen. One soul. One person. Every person has a soul. So it doesn't matter how you say it. One person, one soul is important. The shepherd lost one sheep. He had 99 others. But the lost one was important. The widow lost one coin. She had 9 others, but the one she lost was important. The father had 2 sons. One was still at home, obedient to his dad, but the lost one was important. In John 3:16, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave himself. Angie sang about it. I couldn't have picked a better song to be sung before this sermon. He gave his life for our life. He gave his life for your life. Make it personal. Make it that verse speak to you as an individual. For God so loved you. For God so, and put your name in that verse. For God so loved Daryl, and God so loved Bill, and God so loved Jack and John. And just go up and down. Put your name in that verse. God loved you, and he gave his son to die for you. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died for the world, but he died for the individual. He died for you and me. Jesus went after individuals. The greatest sermon that was ever preached was preached in John chapter 3, preached to one person. Nicodemus. You got to be born again, Jesus told him. You got to come. And if Jesus hadn't preached that sermon to that one person, Nicodemus, we wouldn't have John 3:16 in the Bible. He preached it to one sermon, one person. In John chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Why? There was a woman at a well, a woman who had been married before, who was living with a man that wasn't her husband. A woman that most churches today wouldn't even want in their membership, but Jesus said, I've got to go after that one. That one needs me. And he told that woman, they were sitting by a well. He said, you drink of this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst again. Talking about the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus opened the door of heaven. He let the brilliance of heaven shine down on a little Jew named Saul of Tarsus. He was after the one. He spoke from heaven to bring Saul to himself. Philip left a great revival. He went out into the wilderness. Why did he go out? For one person, the eunuch from Ethiopia, who had been to Jerusalem, who was reading the book of Isaiah, the chapter 53, talking about that one that suffered for him. And God sent Philip after that one. Andrew, I think one of the greatest disciples. He didn't write a book of the Bible, never started a church, never preached a great sermon that we know of, but over and over and over again in the Bible, Andrew was always bringing one to Jesus. He was always bringing an individual to Jesus. One soul is important. Every soul is important. In the book of Mark, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What that verse says, your soul is more important than all the wealth of the world. It's more important than all the money and the gold and the silver in the world. It's more valuable than all the lands and houses in the world. It's more important to God than all the possessions we have in the world. God, one person, one soul is important to God, and he wants that soul to be saved. Your soul is going to live forever in heaven or hell. It's not going to die. It's not going to cease to exist. It's going to live for all eternity, either with God or apart from God. And the thing that makes the difference where your soul spends eternity is what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you're a sinner. You say, preacher, you don't even know me. This is my first time here. I don't need to know you. I just know what this book says. I'm a sinner. Every person here is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You may be pretty good compared to another person, but compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and you see how sinful you are. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Again, not physical death, but separation from God. That's what we owe as sinners. That's what God had the right to make us pay as sinners. But he loved us so much, he sent somebody else to pay what we owed. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Amen. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I want to tell you, you're important to God. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, you're using words I don't know what they mean. Okay, let me just be real simple. You don't know Christ. You've never received him as your Savior. You are lost to God. You are headed for hell, separation from him. You need to be saved from that punishment. That's what Jesus offers through his death on Calvary. When he died on Calvary, God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and put them on his son. He died a substitute death for you. And because Jesus did that, God's able to offer a gift to every person, the gift of salvation from the penalty of sin. If you take it, he'll save you from that punishment. That's what I'm talking about when I say the word saved. That's what I'm talking about when I say the word lost. He offers to you salvation from the punishment of sin through what Jesus did on Calvary. You are important to God. He wants you to live with him in heaven forever. He does not want you to perish. He does not want you to go to hell. And so I say to every person here that's never received Christ, you're important to God. He wants you to be saved. I say to every person here that has received Christ, every soul is important. Every person is important. Every person needs Jesus Christ. Number two, don't give up. Don't give up. The shepherd goes after that which is lost. How long did he go? Did he go till he got tired? Did he go till it got dark? I mean, was there a set time that he looked for the sheep and said, after this, I'm quitting? No, the Bible says he went and looked until he found it. The woman went searching for her coin. The Bible says she cleaned the house and swept the house. How long did she look for that coin? Did she look for it just a day? Did she look for it just till it got dark? How long? The Bible says she looked for the coin until she found it. One soul is important, and we ought to keep going after that soul, and we ought not to give up. We ought to keep going after that soul until that soul comes to Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I prayed for somebody for years. Keep praying. You say, I've witnessed to somebody for years. Keep witnessing. You say, you don't know what they've said to me. You don't know how they've insulted me when they've rejected me. So what? So what? Doesn't matter if they insult you. Doesn't matter if they've been mean to you. What do you think they did to Jesus? They insulted him. They were mean to him. Did he give up? No, I'm glad he didn't. If he would have given up, he probably would have given up on me and given up on you. I'm glad we got a God that didn't give up on us. And we ought not to give up on others, because every soul is important. If you've got somebody on your heart this morning that needs to be saved, thank God for that. And don't give up on them. You keep going after them. You say, preacher, I don't think there's any hope that they'll ever get saved. Hey, after the service, you go back and you talk to Helen. She had a cousin, Betty's sister. I mean, a Peggy's sister, Betty, and her husband, Harold, hard as nails before they got saved. And years and years and years and years. How many, Helen, all together? You remember? Prayed for them and witnessed to them. Finally got him to come to church. Finally got saved. Got him in the old baptistry. I remember when Harold was Betty's husband. He went into the baptistry. Don't you drop me. I said, I got a good hold on you, pal. Don't worry about that. But again, don't give up. One soul is important. I read a story. It took place in Africa. A little boy wandered off from his village. They lived in the middle of the desert. He couldn't last long without water. The whole village came together. They began to search for that little boy. As the day wore on and the sun got hotter, and one by one, the searchers dropped out. Until right as it began to get dark, there was only one person looking for that little boy. His mother. Story goes, she went out where everybody had looked before. She found him hiding under a bush, scared, hot. She didn't give up. She kept looking. And that's what we need to do. Don't give up. Number three, don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied. The shepherd had 99 sheep. It would have been easy to say, well, I've lost one, but if I've got 99, I'm okay. I'm satisfied. The woman could have said, hey, I've lost one coin, but I've got nine others. Nine's enough. I can be satisfied. We see somebody saved, and that's a wonderful thing. But don't be satisfied. We see somebody else be saved. Say, boy, that's more wonderful. But don't be satisfied. There's always somebody else that needs to hear the gospel. There's always another person that's on their way to hell. You say, well, my family's all saved. Every one of my children and my spouse and my grandchildren, they're saved on their way to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God for your faithful witness to help them get saved. Now, what about your friends? What about your friends? Are they all saved? Maybe somebody could hear this morning and say, every one of my friends are saved. Glory to God. Again, thank you for your faithfulness and witnessing to those and seeing all your friends saved. Now, what about your neighbors? Is everybody up and down your street saved? How about those that you work with? Every single person here has somebody that God still wants them to reach, or you would not be here. Listen, if God was done with you, if he didn't have anybody else, I mean, Jesus said, hey, somebody asked Jesus, what's your purpose? Why'd you come? I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he's left us here, to seek and to save, not in the same way he did, but to seek and introduce them to Christ, those that are lost. Don't be satisfied. One soul's important. We shouldn't give up. Don't get satisfied. And then number four, when you get one, rejoice. When you get one, rejoice. When you get one, rejoice. The shepherd found his sheep. He came home. He calls his friends together. He says, let's rejoice. This sheep of mine which was lost is found. And Jesus said when he told the parable, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just people that need no repentance. The woman found her coin. She called all her friends together. Hey, come on, rejoice with me. This coin which was lost, I found. Jesus said again, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just people that need no repentance. And of course, we know the story of the prodigal son. When that lost boy came back home, the father killed the fatted calf. He called his friends together and said, my son, which was lost, is found. Come with me and let's rejoice that he's come back home. You know, I think sometimes we are too reserved in our joy when somebody gets saved. I think when we get a report from junior church that a little boy or a little girl has received Christ, or when somebody walks down the aisle in the service here, or when we hear a report from Awana that a little boy or a little girl has gotten saved, that we're too reserved in our joy. When the angels, when the Bible says there's more joy in heaven, I think, and I don't believe I'm going out on a limb here, I think in heaven, they act more like Pentecostal than they do Baptist. Amen. Amen? I mean, I think they get happy. I think there may be some shouting going on in heaven. I think there may be some dancing going on in heaven. I think there may be some rejoicing, praising the Lord going on in heaven. Because you see, the angels realize what has happened. They've never experienced salvation themselves, but they realize that there's a soul that's important to God that has just received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They realize that that's what God is all about. They realize that's why Jesus came and gave his life on Calvary. And so when a little boy or a little girl or a man or a woman or a teenager receive Christ, they rejoice about it. They get happy about it. They do some shouting about it. One of these days, if we go to heaven by way of death and instead of the rapture, in other words, there's still people on earth that's getting saved, when we go to heaven and we're part of that first celebration, here's what we're going to say. Boy, I missed it when I was on earth. You know what makes me mad? It's when we have an invitation, somebody comes and gets saved, and I look back and I see somebody looking at their watch. I want to come back and... No, they're awake. I want to slap them. It's like they're saying, come on, let's get this over with. I got to get home. Hey, the thing that's going on is more important than anything you got going on at home. There's souls that are getting saved. I saw that. There's souls that are getting saved. There's people that are coming to Jesus Christ. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus Christ and bringing them to Jesus Christ. George W. Truett, Baptist pastor. He pastored a large church in Dallas, Texas, and he pastored Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan at the same time. He was studying for one of his sermons. His granddaughter, who was 4 or 5 years old, came to him while he was studying and said, Grandpa, I want you to play with me. He said, honey, I don't have time right now. I'll play with you in a little bit. And she said, no, Grandpa, I want you to play with me right now. So he said, I got to do something. So he went over to his shelf. He had a puzzle. It was a puzzle of the world. He said, honey, if I'm going to give you this puzzle, and when you get it put together, Grandpa will come and play with you. Now, he thought that puzzle would take his little granddaughter at least a couple hours to put together. About 15 minutes later, he heard her knock at the door. Grandpa, I got the puzzle all put together. Let's play. He came out and he looked at it. He said, how did you get this puzzle put together so quick? She said, well, Grandpa, the world puzzle was hard. But on the back of the world puzzle was a picture of a man. I put the picture of the man together, and the world took care of itself. You want to know how to solve the problems we have in this world? We go after men and women and boys and girls and tell them about Jesus Christ. All the problems we have in the world will be taken care of. Now, I'm not saying we ought not to be good citizens. I'm not saying we ought not to vote. But the primary thing we ought to do is introduce men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. That'll fix the problems in this world. I've told this story recently before, but it makes the point. Man was walking down the beach. He saw a teenager in front of him. He noticed on the beach there was a lot of starfish washed up on the beach, and they couldn't get back in the water. And he noticed this teenager was picking starfish up here and a starfish up there and flinging them back into the ocean. He caught up with the teenager and he said, son, don't you know that you can't save all these starfish? And the teenager picked up another one and said, I know, sir, but I can save this one. We may not be able to get all of them, but we can get one, and then another, and then another. Bill, again, talked to us Thursday night, challenged us about witnessing to people. And I've heard people say, well, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't know how. I'm too shy. I just don't know how to do it. Well, let me just ask you a couple questions. Was there ever a time in your life where you couldn't walk? Can you walk now? Why? Because you wanted to bad enough. Was there ever a time in your life where you couldn't read or write? Yeah. Can you read or write now? Yeah. Why? Because you wanted to. Ever time in your life where you couldn't eat by yourself? Can you eat by yourself now? Looking around, everybody can answer that question, yes. You can eat by yourself now. Why? Because you want to. Don't tell me you don't know how to win somebody to Christ. If you wanted to bad enough, you could. You could. One more story and I'm done. Again, in Africa, a village where they grew vegetables. And a boat would come every so often, and the boat couldn't pull close to the shore because the water wasn't deep enough, but the boat would come close to the shore, drop anchor, and then the villagers would put their vegetables on their in a basket on their back, and they would wade out to the boat, swim out to the boat in some cases, and sell their vegetables. A little woman had a load of vegetables on her back, and she started toward the boat, and the current caught her and dragged her underneath, and she drowned. There were other villagers in the river. They saw what had happened. The captain came on deck and demanded an explanation. Why didn't you save this woman? Why didn't somebody try to save this woman from drowning in the ocean? And the answer he got was, we'd have to drop our vegetables. In order to save her, we'd have to drop our vegetables. Why don't we bring people to Christ? It's not because we don't know how. It's because there's other things in our life that are more important. There's other things that demand our priorities. There's other things that demand our attention. Jesus said, look, here's your commission. You go into this world and you tell people about me. You preach the gospel to every creature. Are we going to be able to save all? No. But we can save one and then another. And then another, and then another. But if we don't go, there's going to be somebody that one day will wake up in hell and say, I'm here because somebody didn't tell me. Because somebody didn't take the time to tell me about Jesus. What a condemnation that would be for any Christian. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. We need to be busy telling people about Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And again, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ, never have received the Savior. Help them see they're a sinner. Help them see the wages of sin is death. Help them to see that the only hope they have is what Jesus did for them on Calvary. You said that if we believe in Him and receive Him, we could have eternal life. I pray, Father, even if there's just one here that's never made that decision, that right now, Holy Spirit, you would convict them of their sin, you would help them see the Savior, and you would help them come to Jesus. I pray you'd bless this time of invitation. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as Christians. I pray you would challenge us once again for the responsibility that we have to share the good news of what Jesus has done for us and for them. Every soul is important. Every soul is going to spend somewhere in eternity. And Jesus Christ makes the difference where they spend that eternity. Help us to be faithful in our witnessing. Father, bless this invitation. Again, use it to accomplish what you need to accomplish in your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.